Hello, this is Teemu Arina from Biohackers Podcast. Today's guest is Elliot Justin, medical doctor and CEO of something called FirmTech. And they have developed this incredible product. It's called Tech Ring, which is basically a cock ring for men that has sensors on it to measure your erectile function and performance. And one might think, hold on, this is like some kind of sex toy, but it's actually connected deeply to health and well-being in the biking community, health optimizing community. Ryan Johnson has definitely made his story on his nighttime erectile function like some kind of big news. But do you know personally how you're doing at night or during the day, which we're also going to talk about? And also if you can actually develop sexual function by practicing it, as well as all the things that don't work. There's so many things out there, from testosterone to supplements and all of that, that promise to improve sexual function. I have my own experience with a bunch of things, but I'm very happy to talk to Dr. Elliot on these topics. So welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be on the show. This is my favorite topic.
Yeah, sounds like it. For many men, of course, it is a big thing. So very interesting to know about your background. So you have background in emergency medicine. You have been connected to medical schools, Harvard, as I remember. How did you get interested in sexual function?
I've always been interested in it. I don't think there are many men who had their mother take them to a urologist as an adolescent because she was concerned about their masturbation habit and their son would not get into college. I got into college. So my first day of medical school, I went off to the medical library to read about aphrodisiacs. And then that's when you kind of realize that no one else is doing this. It's really just me at this entire medical school class of 120 people who want to read about aphrodisiacs. And frankly, back then in the 1970s, it was the same type of things being talked about that, like today, yohimbe, horny goat weed, maca root, things of that nature.
I remember when I tried yohimbe and I had basically a constant boner for 24 hours. It was really painful. I don't recommend that to anyone. I fully understand why it's not on the market. Like, at least it's bad in Europe right now.
So I live in Montana and I own horses. And sometimes I have this delusion that I'm a centaur, that I'm one with my horse. In 2015, I crashed into a tree that had fallen over a trail while riding. And I broke 6 ribs and 6 vertebrae. And then fortunately, my spine was not broken. But that got me interested in what's been done to rehabilitate men with spinal cord injuries, or to, in terms of longevity, what's been done to help men sustain their sexual performance as they age and lose their potency. And there were 5 papers in the medical journals at that time saying that urologists have been able to restore sexual function in men utilizing neuromodulation. So the paradigm for neuromodulation is a cardiac pacemaker. It's placing an electrode in the heart and taking control over the nerves. So my goal was to gain control over the pudendal nerve and the cavernous nerve, every man's favorite 2 nerves that they haven't heard about. And I had a urologist friend at the University of San Francisco implant an electrode in my body to no effect. I called the project O for obvious reasons. And if I had done the usual thing, I would have raised more money and experimented on men in Brazil and Colombia. But I felt that just testing it on myself and having that work indicated to me that this was not going to be successful. Several years later, a urology professor at the University of Utah, who's now my chief medical officer, he heard about this. And he said, I want to come up with a way of counting the number of nocturnal erections in men that are a leading indicator of the cardiovascular health. And I thought, really? I was unaware of that. I mean, Brian Johnson popularized this, but I, like most people in the world, and most doctors certainly, was unaware that nocturnal erections are a leading indicator. Now, leading indicator in medicine is a very, very powerful phrase because it means that it's not just an association. It means that it's predictive. So if man has high blood pressure, we pay a lot of it, or woman for that matter, we pay a lot of attention and we want to treat that high blood pressure lest something like a heart attack or a stroke occur. But a leading indicator means you will have a heart attack or a stroke. It's predictive. If man has declined number of nocturnal erections, you either have a cardiovascular problem or you have a major medication side effect until proven otherwise and you should see a doctor. To be able to count this would be profoundly valuable. It'd be like a 6th vital sign. And what do men care more about? What vital sign interests them more than the health of their penis? I mean, I can say as an emergency medicine physician, that short of a heart attack or a stroke, there's nothing that alarms a man as much as a limp penis. That's how I got involved in it. This doctor approached me, said he wants to count them. And I said, we can do better than that. We can, if we embed sensors into an erection ring, cock ring, we can make a device that can be worn not just overnight, which is a device that Brian Johnson uses, but we can also come up with a device that could be worn while men are having sex. And what concerns men more, what's going on at night, or what's going on while they're having sex. So worn overnight, we now can count comfortably the duration of erections, the number of erections, the firmness of them. And worn during sex, we can do the same. So men can now measure the impact of diseases that are really pandemic, like diabetes or hypertension. I mean, 50% of the men, probably in Estonia too, because it's true in the UK, true in the United States, over the age of 50 have either hypertension or diabetes. Often have both, about 25-30% have both. So you can measure the impact of diseases. You can measure the impact of medications. The big erection killers are antihypertensives and antidepressants. The phrase goes in the biohacking world, if you can track it, you can hack it. So we have men and we have doctors who are utilizing our technology to say, what's the right dose of blood pressure medicine for you that's going to have an impact on your blood pressure, but not have an impact on your sexual health? And the same thing with the SSRI antidepressants that are also horrible in terms for sexual effect. And you can also measure the impact of supplements, diet, exercise, relationships upon your sexual performance. So what we're doing is really revolutionary.
Let's expand on that. So I would say stress is a big killer of erectile function or lifestyle in general. So is that something that has come up in your research?
Yeah, we see that on our recordings. So we sold thousands of these devices and we have data. Cybersecure, it's anonymous. We have data that's really, really enormous. We have the largest data set in the world. So I'll talk about myself. If I sleep poorly, I have no nocturnal erections. If I take a sleeping pill like Zolpidem, Ambien, we call it in the United States, it wipes out my nocturnal erections. If I drink more, the nocturnal erections go down as well. So you can actually measure the impact of these things on your health. Stress is certainly a major problem and associated with anxiety and has a major impact upon people's sexual performance. Mm.
Freud said that man has born between feces and urine. Men really circle around, like a lot of their self-esteem is around like erectile function to some extent.
Sure.
Women say they don't really care, but most men do care and they connect that to testosterone. Like how big is then testosterone in terms of like erectile function?
I think that is the case for many men. Women care about it a lot as well too. But as far as testosterone goes, we have many men taking testosterone and some benefit and some don't. So one of the values of what we're doing is that men can see whether the therapy is working for them and they can start to titrate the dose that works for them. I never took testosterone, but about 9 months ago, I became aware that pretty much everyone my age, I'm 71, that I know is taking testosterone, either a gel or injections. And I had friends down in even in their 20s who were taking it. So I have a team of academic urologists, and I asked them, what do you think is going to happen if I take it? I don't have ED technically. I have ED of aging, we all get, but I don't have ED technically. I'll talk about ED of aging in just a moment. And these academic urologists said, you're going to have nocturnal erections that are going to last longer, and you're going to probably get more of them. But there was no change whatsoever. The benefit for me with testosterone was in the gym, not in the bedroom.
Right. So it's testosterone alone doesn't explain erectile function.
If men have low testosterone, they will benefit in terms of their erectile fitness. But if men are in the normal range, we don't see any change whatsoever.
Right. I once discussed with a Chinese doctor trained in the West with Western medicine. I asked, what would be the one biomarker that you would measure for someone's health status? And he said reproductive capability, both in women and men. And his explanation was that when the organism is in a poor health, it shuts down. It basically shuts down reproduction because it's not worthy to pass on that genetic information. So if you can't conceive or you can't have boners, like all of that might be an indirect indication of something's really wrong in the organism. Have you seen anything like this?
I would generalize it because we talked earlier about how, and Brian John talked this about as well too, as do cardiologists, that having erections at night is a leading indicator of cardiovascular health. In order to have erections, you need blood flow, you need nerves that work, and you need muscles that work. The penis and the clitoris too, likely, when we have developed a device for women, just haven't not marketed yet, but the penis becomes the canary in the coal mine of vascular disease. It's the indicator of one's overall cardiovascular health. And it's a way of performing almost like getting an electrocardiogram at home. You can see it. If you have good waveforms, we have a 1 to 10 scale. If your erections are hard on a 1 to 10 scale, and if your duration is more than 3 minutes on average, and if you're having 3 to 5 nocturnal erections per night, it's highly likely that you're in good cardiovascular health and that you're not aging as fast as someone who did not have those vital signs.
Have you noticed like reduced performance with things like smoking, nicotine use, and or caffeine?
We have not looked at caffeine. We have looked at nicotine, and we have had men who have stopped smoking and have recovered. Their number of nocturnals goes up, the duration of the nocturnal erections go up.
Why I'm asking is because 1700 to 1800s in the Middle East, in Europe, people spend a lot of time in coffee shops and coffee houses. And women would complain that when men came back home, they brought back home nothing but stiff joints. I'm wondering if this basically like caffeine, which is...
Well, you could study it. That's the great thing about Timo, about this device, is that in privacy at home, you can measure the impact of these things upon your sexuality. So, Timo, if you want to study this and you want to have 12 shots of espresso per week, you could say, hey, here's my baseline before, and now I've done caffeine heavily for a week. What is the impact on my sexual health?
Right. Let's go through a couple of supplements. I want you to maybe comment on some of these, because what is often marketed, at least in the biking community, for sexual function, testosterone and all of that, you got things like, we mentioned Yohimbe, but things like ginseng, that is like the more male herbal Viagra, in a sense, in Chinese medicine, but also as an adaptogen. Then there is also horny goat weed that comes to mind.
We've tested a lot of them. And I think, as I shared with you earlier, we receive 1 to 2 oral products a week, and we haven't found anything that works. And we've tested maca root, horny goat weed, fungandawanda, nitric oxide, L-arginine, and we haven't found anything that increases the number of nocturnals or increases a man's sexual performance as measured by the hardness, duration of erections. And that's been really interesting, because a man who wants to improve his performance, and especially a man who has erectile dysfunction, they walk on their knees on broken glass to get a solution. But they don't trust the conventional medical doctors, and that's with good reason. We're not to be trusted. We don't do a good job of taking care of sexual health. I've never had a doctor ask me about my sexual health, my marriage, etc. And I know how a doctor warned me about the sexual side effect of medications. And I think that's the norm. I think doctors are reluctant to discuss this with their patients, and patients are reluctant to ask. So as a consequence, people turn to the naturopaths and integrative medicine and regenerative medicine. And I think that those people have things to contribute, but we also have to remember they're not testing a lot of the things they're talking about. The great thing about having, again, biohacking, if you have a way of making something objective, if you can track it objectively, you can then hack it and you can see what works. And then there's the placebo effect. I've got a good friend here in Bozeman, Montana, who swears by beet juice of a particular natural, wholesome brand. We tested it on 6 men, had no impact, and he still believes in it. And the placebo effect is still really powerful too. I have men who tell me that they get harder more confidently just by having Viagra in their wallet. So putting aside the placebo effect, though, with our device, you can actually make it objective and test these things on yourself.
Very interesting. So things like Tongat Ali, that like
we tried that.
That's nothing. Right?
Ali, we actually tried on 21 men, because it was the Tongat Ali company that really was pushing this heavily, and we found no impact whatsoever. What's interesting with Tongat Ali was that we had, and this is true for me as well too, we had an initial subjective feeling that it was working. I felt it was working, but then the data after 2 weeks showed that there was
not much,
no change whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. Then, like in Ayurvedic medicine, they recommend ashwagandha and shilajit as for male sexual health. I assume like these also.
We tried the first one with no effect.
Right. It should like lower morning cortisol.
But the best thing to lower cortisol is sex. If a man had sex daily, sex with climax daily, the cortisol levels went down by half over 2 weeks. That's a profound effect.
Does that also apply to solo sex, like masturbation?
The men in the study were having sex solo.
Right. I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you're eliminating the variable of the partner.
One thing that I've noticed that works for me has been actually abstinence from sexual interaction. So I've done twice this 60-day, basically, abstinence from ejaculation. And also simultaneously also reduced sexual stimuli. In the biking community, there are several people who are also proponent of this quite yogic approach, basically not watching porn and reducing like external stimuli, so that what I've noticed, like the opposite sex becomes actually more attractive and interesting. But also in my experience, in the first few weeks, that's the hardest. Like you mentioned, masturbation as a challenging thing in childhood, like for many men, it's a daily practice. And to go 1 week off might be really, really hard. And I've learned that it can be trained for, and it's a very, very hard thing to do. But when you get over like the first couple of weeks, it becomes progressively easier and easier. And in my own experience, I don't know about nighttime erections, but at least morning wood was definitely present every single morning. And also like daytime boners, definitely very present. And once you go back into sexual activity, I felt increased sensitivity, enjoyment, and also this kind of effect seemed to last, although you might have like often sexual interactions with yourself or with the partner. To me, that has been a useful, I call it almost like a reset. I don't know if it has something to do about nervous endings, but you said to me earlier when we had a conversation that actually you can train sexual performance by actually doing it a lot. So here I am like not doing, feeling I'm improving my performance, and you're telling me actually by doing it, you can improve your performance. So what's your take on this?
I personally would not have the discipline or the inclination to do what you're doing, because if I go a day without an orgasm, I get grumpy. And if I went 2 days without an orgasm, my wife will start complaining about my mood. So that's just who I am. I think what you're saying is interesting. And again, because with our tech ring, and I'll have to get you one, you can measure what's really going on. Sensitivity is subjective, but you could measure how hard you are. You can measure how long you last, and you can measure nocturnals. So it'd be interesting to, with your practice, especially if you could round up 5 or 6 other guys who also would have a similar practice, to do it for several weeks, have a before and after, and see what's going on.
We could have 2 groups, like one going like full on.
It'd be great if you guys, for your own controls, so you can have a period where you have sex every day, and you have a period where you don't, we have abstinence, and then you would have before and after. It'd be quite interesting, because I've been asked this question before in podcasts, and I don't have an answer. I know about the claims. So I have to say, I'm a little bit skeptical. I certainly think that there are men who report that they have sex frequently, they become dulled, especially if they're masturbating.
It's a hard thing, like, to find men who are ready to do that, like, long periods of time. But personally, I can say that also another effect that I noticed was increased energy levels. So I seem to have a lot more energy every single day. And this is what anecdotally I've also heard from others who have tried this thing. But personally, for me, it was not really about any of this performance or desensitization or anything. It was more about to be able to control my body and mind, in a sense. So it's like a mindful practice, in a sense, that you can observe an urge and not react on it or act on it. And I think that's what mindfulness meditation teaches. It's just a form of meditation, eyes open 24/7 when you're a man, to not be worried about those urges, that you can just observe them happening, and I can tell you, they come and go once you stop acting on them, and it becomes easier and easier to observe them. But that's very interesting. Let's talk about the device and what kind of data you are able to provide. So
if you want to do that study, I would give you the devices. If you want to study this with a bunch of men.
That would be very interesting. Yeah. Because I actually do enjoy doing it. And I think from my own experience, there's little benefit of doing it more than 30 days. And some say it's like the sweet spot would be like every 21 days. I think Tim Ferriss actually wrote about this in his book, I think, For Our Body. He spoke about this and that he actually measured this. I don't know how, I don't remember how, but I think it's in his book. And yeah, part of it was also like having sex, but not ejaculating. So you would basically work with opposite sex, but you wouldn't take yourself that far. And that somehow improves testosterone and performance for the next roundabout. So that's another test that someone could do, is abstinence from ejaculation, but still like actively getting a boner.
You want the blood flow. And what the urologists say, and I see this in older men too, it really is, it's a use it or lose it proposition with men, especially as they age. You can get the blood flow without ejaculation. You just need to get an erection in order to get the blood flow. There was data showing that if men really abstain from sex and abstain from erections, their penis will atrophy. And we see this objectively in men who had prostate surgery. They're encouraged to use penis pumps afterwards to maintain the blood flow. Because if they don't pump and do the other pelvic floor exercise and other things that are prescribed, it's much harder for them to recover full sexual function, because it's not being used. They need the blood flow.
I remember also reading about that ejaculation, masturbation is actually good for reducing prostate cancer risk.
I forget the research. If you have 2 orgasms a week, your prostate risk goes down 50%. This is one study from Thailand, a Buddhist priest. There have been 2 studies about Roman Catholic priests that I recall from a long time ago. People who truly are practicing celibacy, their penises shrivel.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if that study group is actually completely objective, but
sure.
Considering all the news and scandals.
One of the great things about our device is that we take this out of the world of subjectivity, and we make this device available to researchers. Here, study it. Now you have a tool that can make it objective as opposed to a subjective scoring system.
That could be like a mandatory requirement to become a priest, is to use your porn ring. It's 24/7 and prove it. I'm practicing filibuster here.
This is only very, very tangentially related to what you just said, but with using our data, we've had a couple of divorces because people will look at someone else's phone and say, usually women, oh, I thought you were work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. What's this 90 minute erection you had? Who are you with? What were you doing?
That's dangerous data. But let's talk about the data set. Is it like a gamification thing that you get like some kind of awards and like medals for boners, or how does it work?
We don't give awards or medals, although we probably will do that a year from now. We will gamify because we have men who are interested in its gamification. Right now, we just give you data like you would get from using Oura Ring or Whoop or an Apple Watch. You get an overall erectile fitness score, which is a computer analysis of your nocturnals and your sex erections. And if your score is above a 7, it's your 6.5, you're okay. We tell people how many nocturnal erections they have on average, how long they last. We also do the same thing for people's sex erections. How hard do you get? How long do you last? And people can use that data to compete with their brothers. I got two brothers who are doing that right now. Or you can use that data for health reasons. In your case, I want to test out this yoga practice. I want to test out maca root, taking testosterone. What's the impact on my sexual performance? I'm starting on new medications. Now we're getting to how most men, older men especially, using this. My doctor started me on this hypertensive medication. I'm concerned about my sexual health. Or my psychiatrist put me on an antidepressant. Because people are reluctant to discuss these things with their doctors. And now in privacy and at home, they can get their data.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be ready to look at the nighttime boners of my brother, but I guess you enjoy looking at that data. But I'm in my 40s now, so I'm 41. Of course, with biohacking, I feel much younger. And biologically, I'm also younger. And I feel younger. I haven't seen or feel like any reduction in sexual performance or any of this, but I'm fully aware that once you hit 40, it's a downhill road. Like 26% of men under age 40 have experienced some kind of erectile dysfunction, but it goes to over 50% very rapidly, over 60% when I'm getting close to my 50s. Yeah, I'm utterly aware of those factors, so that the older I become, the more I should think about it. And it's not really very convincing, or doesn't give me much hope, that you tell me that none of these supplements that I know will work. What works?
That's a great question. But don't get high blood pressure. Don't become diabetic. If you do get those problems, comply. Don't become overweight. You look quite fit. I'm 71 years old. Both you and I can look down and I can see my penis. If you can't see your penis when you look down, you've got a problem. Because, and most men, unfortunately, both my age and many men your age, they see belly. And so if avoiding diabetes, hypertension, and obesity, not smoking, not drinking to excess, all these things are beneficial. In terms of sexual health, unfortunately, as I said, we have not seen any oral products that work. Men, as they get older, especially men who are less fit, they develop venous leak syndrome. I'll draw an analogy. If I were to sit on a plane for 5 hours, if I were to fly to Estonia to see you, and sat on a plane for 12 hours, then my socks might feel a little bit tight afterwards if I was sitting for a long period of time, but the rings on my fingers might feel a little bit tight. And why is that? It's because the muscles around the veins are not pumping the blood back to the heart effectively. In the case of the penis, they're not holding the blood in the penis. So the most common problem is not that men can't attain an erection. If you can't attain an erection, you have a serious problem and you'd see a doctor. The most common problem is men cannot sustain an erection. And that can be due to anxiety, medications, alcohol, recreational drugs, diseases, but it's also most commonly as men get older due to this weakening of the veins. And these aren't veins you can exercise in the gym. These are smooth muscle veins. These are veins that you have to exercise by utilizing the organ. So you need to have sex a lot.
Is that like same as arterial elasticity?
Yes, but on the venous side. The most common approach that men take as they get older if they have erectile issues is they take a PDE5 medication, the common ones being tadalafil, sildenafil, Viagra, Cialis. And those medications put more blood into the penis, but they do a very poor job at keeping it there. So if you can get an erection and you lose it, it's probably not, those drugs are going to be less valuable to you than using an erection ring. So one of the problems that men have, common problems they have, can be overcome with an erection ring. And frankly, even men who are healthy like you should use an erection ring on a regular basis. I do. I never used erection rings before I came up with this device because they're hard silicone, they pinch, they're uncomfortable. You want them off right away. So when this doctor challenged me with coming up with a way of counting the number of nocturnal erections, I had to reinvent the erection ring. So our erection rings are made out of soft elastomer. They're comfortable. They don't block the arterial flow into the penis. They only constrain the venous return. So with these rings, you will last harder. And beyond rock hard, this cock ring hard, nothing is going to get a man harder. The more blood's retained in your penis, the more sensitivity you will have. Nothing's going to get a man harder than a cock ring. No amount of anal, oral, manual, digital stimulation And our data shows that a ring will keep a man harder twice as long as a medication. One of my goals is to mainstream erection rings for men. Women have vibrators of mainstream for women. My mother's vibrator was in the bottom dresser drawer of a storage closet. I don't know how many my wife owns. And our daughter takes them on dates. So back in the 70s and 80s, there was certain like shame, stigma associated with women using vibrators. Oh, you have to have a natural orgasm. But that's gone. And men have this shame as well, or erection rings are kind of stigmatized. Therefore, gay men, or therefore, people who are into fetishes. And that's stupid. It's unfortunate. So we go to medical conventions, we ask one question, in order to tell the difference between a gay doctor and a straight doctor. The question is, do you use a cock ring? Straight doctor, I don't need that. It's like Superman kryptonite. Gay doctor, last night, got a better one? It's not about, I don't need an erection ring. You don't need one either. But do you want, if a man, do you want to have one? Do you want to have a more intense orgasm? Do you want to have a long-lasting erection? Do you want to have more control over your erections? And then a ring is the answer.
Maybe the health aspect is the way to change the stigma, that it's not about giggling about using these things and like a shameful thing, but it's a health product. So it's something that improves blood flow and general well-being and health over time. And it's actually something that you can support with technology. And in this case, it's better designed for that. It's not just for the sexual act. It can be used overnight. So it's no longer, it loses kind of its life.
It's my hope that people will develop a positive relationship with this wearable, the way they do with other wearables. So we know that if people have smartwatches, smart rings, they pay attention to their data, they pay more attention to their health. It's my hope that by giving people data that tells them about their cardiovascular health as well as their sexual health, that they will pay more attention to things that will get them healthier and avoid things that are unhealthy.
Yeah. For I can say that for my abstinence practice, like definitely improved hardness. It was absolutely noticeable and crazy. So I would love to try that just to see if it's true. When we talked about the different supplements like L-carnitine, zinc, all of those, there are studies that show that they do increase sperm motility. So could improve fertility, sperm out, all of that. My co-author, I think, Dr. Olli Sovijärvi spoke about using acetyl-L-carnitine, Alcar, to improve motility when they were trying to conceive with his wife, which they succeeded. So he took like a tested approach to it. And so maybe they don't improve the cardiovascular side or like nighttime or daytime boners, but definitely you can improve your sperm quality. And one thing that I would be interested to test as a biohacker is red light therapy. I don't know if you have been shining red light on your testicles, but that's one thing that seems to have interesting evidence. And it's also connected to mitochondrial function and also the production of ATP through cytochrome C oxidase. You just don't want to use like too much of the infrared range because that can be like the heat can be damaging. Your testicles are hanging outside of your body for a good reason.
And also decreasing your sperm as well too with too much heat. My personal experience with red light therapy was I was approached by, I'm not going to name the company because they're in the market right now, but in the beta phase, I was approached by a company out of Los Angeles, and they had a red light device that went over the penis. And I did my baseline testosterone level. I did my baseline using our device, our baseline nocturnals and duration and firmness of nocturnals. And I used the device for 6 weeks, and it had no impact whatsoever, except my testosterone level went down significantly. So I decided not to invest in this company or market their product. But they're in the market right now, and they're making claims. I would urge people, if you're going to use an untested therapy like red light therapy, that might not be benign. If you took maca root, you're not going to harm yourself. But red light therapy potentially is harmful. I understand the hypothetical benefits on the mitochondria, but I have the specific indication we're talking about, improvement. And these guys claim the testosterone level goes up with red light therapy. In terms of that, I it was the reverse with me. Would it be the reverse with you if you tried it? I don't know. But now you can get objective personal data and see what's going on with you, as opposed to just believing someone else's claim.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, we can have all kinds of opinions, but now we have means to test things and figure out, and that's the biohacking ethos is N is one, and you have to take your subjective opinions and objective data, and in the end, you have to test things on yourself, like what works and what doesn't. So what has worked for you? You mentioned exercise, like briefly, you touch that?
Works for me is a bunch of things. One, I have cut back on my nighttime drinking because I see the impact on my nocturnal erections. So I might not have the discipline to be celibate or to practice abstinence, but I do have the discipline to cut back on alcohol.
So it's not just your Oura Ring, but your cock ring that makes you aware that it's going to affect your sleep.
Correct. That's right. We used to take, especially if I was traveling internationally, I would take Zolpidem for sleep, but it wipes out my nocturnals. So I don't do that anymore. I just go without it. But what's worked for me, though, is actually our product we call the Maximum Performance Ring. Because as an older man, I will lose my erections faster. Rock hard for me is the same as it was when I was your age, same as it was 14 years old. I found respect for Brian Johnson when he claims he has the penis of an 18-year-old. It's not about the hardness. It's not. I have 5 to 7 nocturnals a night sometimes. It's not about, and I'm not in his condition. It's not about the number of nocturnals. It's about the interval between climaxes. What distinguishes an 18-year-old from a 70-year-old is the 18-year-old can have 2 or 3 orgasms an hour. I can't do that. And we're playing around with PT-141, it's a peptide, next week with 6 men to see if that can decrease the refractory period, which would be interesting. But so what works for me, though, is actually using an erection ring. And I use our product called the Maximum Performance Ring. It was tested on 11 men here in Montana between the age of 27 and 70. And it puts pressure over the urethra in order to prolong the ejaculation. By prolonging the ejaculation, we increase the power of the orgasm. So my ejaculatory phase goes from 4 seconds to 7 seconds. And that's a more profound orgasm. And I could not achieve that on my own without this mechanical enhancer of pleasure. If I have a ring on as well, too, I can now last longer. And that's been a game changer for me and many of our older customers. If men are concerned they're going to lose their erection, they get anxiety, they're going to lose their erection even faster. And so a ring produces confidence, both the man and their sexual partners, because you don't require as much direct stimulation and sustained stimulation or sustained erection. So there's not a lot that works in my experience, but there's the ring, and then there's avoiding excessive alcohol use, avoiding certain medications.
So peptides and all of that is still experimental. We'll see, jury's out on those. I've also read articles on stem cell makeups. I think Ben Greenfield, one of the biohackers, he speaks highly about his penis after stem cell therapy. I don't know about that. Some biohackers are, by the way, they are injecting their prostates and penises with plasma, but also methylene blue. Can you imagine?
I've not heard of that. I don't know about that. Methylene blue is toxic. Anyway,
they believe it's great.
I have a couple people I know who are injecting Botox into the penis to increase blood flow. Again, I'm an agnostic about these things. I urge people to test it. Make it objective. As opposed to just making a claim, make it objective.
Precisely, yeah. Like, none of this experimental stuff is, by the way, medical advice for anyone. We're on that territory now. And that whatever you do to your penis, it's your business. But be very careful with that. You have only one boner.
Yes. It's not like your kidneys. You can lose one. You can lose a kidney. Life goes on. But you can't. You can lose your penis.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
It is absolute disaster for sure. Force you to become a monk. Now, in terms of this kind of technology, where do you see this going? People are living longer. The rejuvenation therapies are of great interest. Health and well-being and sexual function is a growing issue globally. We don't fully understand all the physiological, psychological, mechanical problems, but some of it, you're doing all these tests and you find out that there are things that don't work, quite a lot of it, and it's quite individual also what works and what doesn't. And then there's the whole stigma thing that it's like products like this. I've seen even, you go to Amsterdam, you go to sex shops, it feels like you're not really going to some dark alley. There's some hairy dude behind the counter, but it's like, those are like high class, high level clientele and really cool environments. And I've seen a lot of, in the biking community, also these vibrators that have trackers on them, and gamification of sexual performance is nothing new. It can be even done with a phone app. So there's some of that out there for tracking your thirsts and noise levels and whatnot with your phone. So is this like turning all of this into entertainment almost?
That's inevitable. And men especially, women too, are competitive about their sexual health. And who's firmer, Finns or Estonians? You'll be able to, are the Swedes firmer than the Danes? Or what about the Norwegians? People will actually be able to, hey, which soccer team is the firmest? So that people, it's inevitable that people will gamify this. And we have men right now who will take our devices on weekends to Las Vegas with their friends And who had the most erections over the weekend? Who was the hardest over the weekend?
I would love to see carnivores versus vegans like fighting this off. I would be on the carnivore camp and say that the vegans, they are like too fragile to even raise a hand. So why would they raise boners? But we'll see about that. I've seen some documentaries which claim that nighttime erections go up by using more olive oil instead of saturated fat. I don't know if that's true. I would love to see this like becoming more objective, right? So that we can actually test things out.
That's my goal too. I want to provide men and soon women with actionable data, personal data about their sexual health, so they can ideally then track it, hack it, enjoy a longer lifetime of lovemaking.
Yeah. And then you make an integration with Tinder and women will figure guys out who don't have enough nighttime boners and their sexual function has been reduced. Or that's a fantasy of a man, right? So maybe that's not so much of a big deal for a woman, but we'll see.
I think that women
actually do care about this.
Actually do care. And now that we're developing this, I think women care even more than men do. I'll put it that way. We just don't know it yet. Why? Or they should care more. And why is that? Well, postmenopausal women have all the same problems that men do with diabetes, hypertension, atherosclerosis, obesity. But premenopausal women take hormones for birth control, and they take SSRI antidepressants 5 or 6 times more than men do. And those things have a significant impact upon their sexual health. And also, women are more likely to take action about their sexual health or their health in general than men are. So I'm pretty certain that
they already use like ways to train their pelvic muscles, and they use like all kinds of things from yoni eggs to whatnot, claiming that it's a way of improving your sexual health. And if women are doing it, why not men would have like retreats where they put cock rings on and practice some boners? So not the target audience personally for that kind of thing, but I would be in the target audience for a device like this. I would be curious to see the data and trying to verify what you said on different supplements and technologies and see how even an hour reduced sleep might effect, which I feel like is a big contributor to my own. If I don't sleep enough, I'm not going to get a boner. So that's just a big deal breaker for me, is sleep. So then you can actually see how big of an impact stuff like that is, and you can become concerned. Wonderful. All right. If people want to know more, myfirmtech.com, that's the website where there's a bunch of science and the different products out there, from the FirmTech tech ring to the performance ring that he also mentioned. And yeah, like this seems interesting. If our audience is interested in doing a no-fab February kind of thing, but maybe not February, but some other month this year, let's see if we can get some more objective data sets out there. And yeah, and then we could have a Fab Friday. So get the data in on like training for these kind of things and see what happens. Definitely bikers are consistent and interested in measuring things like this. And yeah, sexuality shouldn't be a taboo. Like we should be concerned about sexual function and figure out together what works and what doesn't. Don't you agree?
100%. I think, again, my goal is to provide people with data that will allow them to have a better, happier life and address issues of cardiovascular health and sexual health, address the problems before they become apparent to them. So for example, we've had two men who have gotten back to me saying that they saw declined nocturnal erections. They went to the cardiologist, but they got cardiac catheterizations. And did I save their lives? No, probably not. But did they find out important information that prevented them from having a major health catastrophe? Yes. The youngest person who reported to me to evaluate the data was a biohacker. He's a 26-year-old guy who was having difficulty conceiving and getting erections. He was in extraordinarily good health, but it turned out he only was having one nocturnal erection per night and was weak. He turned out to have an adrenal problem. And he eventually went to an endocrinologist and had that problem addressed. So if you want to hack your body, the penis is a good place to start.
That's a good point. That's a good place to end. Thank you, Dr. Elliot Justin, for this insightful journey into boners and getting us out of the stigma of measuring our important jewelries and what they're capable of. And hopefully this provided a lot of good information for people. Is there any other websites and things that you want to mention in addition to my firm?
If people want to contact me personally, you can find me at Elliot, ELLIOT, at myfirmtech.com. I answer things because I'm interested in this. So if people have a medical question or they think there's something that works, they want to test something, let me know and I'll help you out.
Wonderful. Thank you much, everyone. Now remember to stay hard and stay erect.